Tai Chi. The rest of kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's saying in her sleep, brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Ayo's house
in the middle of our street.
Ayo's house.
Isle's House, episode, not sure. Before we get into it, let's take care of the housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow the pod at Isle's House. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy. Follow Jack at Isle's Den. Producer Greeny at eGreenberg99. And our lovely video editor, Tyler, at Bars Down. Subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Give us 5 stars. Leave us a good review so we can climb the rankings. Some exciting stuff coming after the season. Stay tuned for that. Off to Jackie Recaps.
Yep. So since the last time we recorded, the Islanders hosted the Lightning and had probably the most lifeless performance of the entire season, losing 4-1. That was just that one was just an ugly one. Like, there was nothing positive to take out of that. After that, the Islanders hosted the Wild on Friday, got a nice win. Everybody seemed to play well. Dobson showed up right as it starts to not matter. And that brings us to today, where I was actually there at UBS for this one. And it was definitely a memorable one. I've never seen anything like it. Like, I walk in, there's all red jerseys. There's, of course, the orange and blue. I would say it was like a 50-50 split. Might be a little generous for Islander fans, but it was something else. First period, the Islanders scored twice. Ovechkin has a couple of looks, and every time that he touched the puck, like, there was just this anticipation in the building, and it was pretty crazy. Like, I've never seen anything like it. And 4 minutes into the game, Sorokin made a save on an Ovechkin redirect, and I was honestly relieved because I didn't want it to be 5 minutes and Ovechkin scored already. But of course, the moment happens. There's a nice 10-minute ceremony. My favorite part was when Gretzky took center stage and was talking about how happy he was that it wasn't at Nassau Coliseum and everything like that, but it was nice when it ended. I'm not sure how long it was, but when I checked the time to see when the third period was starting, I realized it's usually when the game ends. So I feel like it might have taken up longer than I realized. You guys could probably tell me that, but Islanders go on to win 4-1. Gatcombe gets 2 goals. Sorokin looked really good other than giving up that one goal, but I didn't think that goal was his fault. Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer of all time for a reason. Now the Islanders sit in a really awkward spot because instead of improving their draft position, they've decided to win a few games because of course. And now we wait on some results from Montreal to see if there's any realistic chance this team has, but I think we all feel the same way about that, where it's very, very unlikely. I would be beyond shocked. So with that, I'll kick it over back to you guys.
Yeah, no, good recap from Jack as always. I think I'll get straight into the Ovechkin stuff because I think that's going to be the main talking point here as we begin. I had FOMO for the people going. Like, I thought it was such a cool moment in the sport. I mean, I actually was surprised when I looked it up. I thought Gretzky had broken it way earlier than 1999. That's when he broke it, right, Greeny? 99, I believe.
But so.
Still, it's just such a crazy thing. And when you hear older people talk about it, because, I mean, Greeny and Jack probably weren't even born. Ethan and I were both very young. You hear people talk about it now, and, like, this is truly a record people thought would never get broken. Like, ever. So the fact that Ovechkin came in and did it, it's pretty amazing. We joked for a long, long time, of course, it's going to fall on the Islanders, and it did. We've lived through it. The writing was on the wall. It was going to happen against the Islanders. I think those trying to dunk on the Islanders are kind of dumb. I mean, the guy has 900 goals. It just happens to be the game that he does it. But as far as the moment, great shot. You know, typical Ovechkin-type goal. Islanders end up winning the game. Now, I know people in here feel some type of way about how the league went about it, because I think it's clear it wasn't the Islanders doing to roll out a carpet and do all these things. But as far as that, I mean, I thought it was cool, but I know Ethan thought it was long, but I do agree. It was, like, way too long. But the main thing I'm wondering, and I wanted to ask you guys on this, like, how differently would it have been had this been perhaps a matchup where two teams are fighting for maybe the Metro title, and it's not one team that's basically clinched the East and one team that's basically out of the playoffs. Do you think anything would have happened differently had it been two teams that are contending for the same spot? Or do you think the NHL still rolls out the carpet, still does all these things? I feel like they were sort of happy it was a team like the Islanders where the game, yes, it matters, but at the same time, does it really matter that much in the grand scheme? So I thought that was like an interesting aspect. Had they played a playoff team, would it be a little different?
Well, here's the thing, Rocco. The Islanders are not eliminated from the playoffs just yet.
They're not, but I'm just, if we're, do you believe they're going to make it? Like, it's
no, I don't. But you know what? This is the
bordering on.
No.
Houston took the miracle this week. Like, the Islanders aren't. The Islanders aren't making this playoff run all the time.
This is the type of thinking that upsets me because, if the Islanders had
everything upsets you, but go.
No, not everything upsets me. And we'll get into things that don't upset me. Greeny, stop shaking your head. No. Okay, you know what? I'll tease it right now because there's only one person on the Zoom call who's DM friends with Elliot Friedman right now, and it's moi. So we'll talk about that soon. Before we get into that, me and Elliot Friedman being best friends, I have thoughts. I have many thoughts. I understand the need for the ceremony. Okay? I get it. It's history. LeBron had a big thing when he beat Kareem's record. Okay. It took way too long. For a guy like Lou, who everyone says has maybe the most equity of any GM in the league, I have a hard time believing he had any say in that ceremony.
No, he had no. It's a league thing. It's a league thing.
I do not. Sure. And you know what? Maybe Malkin's thrilled about it because ticket sales were crazy. The building was fucking packed. He's not going to have a legitimate all-star game, if any all-star game at all, next season based on what people are hearing and what the NHL is going to do with the Olympics and whatever. So I'm sure they were thrilled. Ownership was thrilled. To take a break that long in the middle of a game against a team that is not technically eliminated is asinine. Do the ceremony, make it quick, wrap it up. The best analogy.
I agree with that. Do something after
and
the game.
Listen, I originally had that take, do something after the game. And then I'm on Nick Zoraris's Twitter and someone replied to him with maybe the best analogy, which was, can't they scrape up Lincoln's brains later? It's distracting the actors. I get it. You don't want to lose the aura of the moment. You want to celebrate it as it happens. You don't want to have to watch 15 more minutes of fucking Mark Gatcombe and Kyle MacLean skating on the ice before you celebrate the greatest goal scorer in the history of the game. I get it. My problem is that it took way too long. My other problem is that I'm biased and it happened against the Islanders. If it happened against Igor Shesterkin, every single fucking person on this call would be clowning the Rangers for allowing history in their building on home ice, pausing the game to celebrate this. And the final thing that I'll say, I have a huge issue with Ilya Sorokin's acceptance of the situation. I think it's huge loser behavior. I want a goalie who hates to be on the opposite end of history. I don't want him getting his fucking, you saw the video of Ovechkin patting his head, messing up his goalie mask, pushing it into his face, getting the stick from Ilya Sorokin. Sorry, the jersey wasn't enough. The puck wasn't enough. Ilya Sorokin's going to go ahead and give up his stick. Ilya Sorokin's going to say, oh yeah, no problem, Ovechkin. Like, no one has an issue with that level of non-competitiveness. And you know what, Greeny? You have your head in your face, but guess what? Maybe for you, this is the only time that Ilya Sorokin's ever going to be in the record books, and that's why you're happy about it. But
hey, he scored a goal.
That behavior is borderline unacceptable. I want a goalie who's pissed off, who'd rather light the stick on fire than give it to Ovechkin. And you have to do the whole pomp and circumstance. I get it. Fine. League mandated. To me, it was just like, you're still fighting for a playoff spot. You're having an objectively terrible year by your standards. And that's going to be the reaction.
They won the game. They won the game.
I don't care, Greeny.
He was good.
They won the game.
I don't care.
Okay, so what I'm going to say on that situation, especially with like the pushing of the helmet and all that shit, like, I mean, what do you want the guy to do on the ice? Like, what do you want him to do? Like,
give him a hug,
run off? Should you want him to spear him? Like, right after he scores the goal, just spears him with a stick? Like, what do you expect him to do?
This guy is from... Don't say thanks, Ovechkin, and give the guy your stick. Like, just shut up and be like, yeah, it was a great shot.
That,
loser behavior.
I think you're being hard on him because it's pushing your narrative further on Sorokin, to be honest.
I don't have a Sorokin narrative.
You have a Sorokin narrative. You
no,
do.
I don't.
Yes, you
I'm,
do.
I'm, no,
yes,
I don't. Do. No, yes, I'm do. Middleman Dan. I'm middleman Dan with Sorokin.
You're not middle. You're never middleman Dan on anything, ever. Oh,
who came to you middle of the episode and stole the thunder from Green Room about how the guy plays an unprecedented number of games for a starting goaltender off back surgery? I have come to his defense when it's warranted. It is not warranted right now.
Okay, but the bottom line is, anyway, anyone in that situation, especially on the ice, unfortunately, there's literally nothing Sorokin can, like, he could have punched Sorokin in the face and Sorokin just
could have saved a goal that had a 0.04 goal for expected, but okay, whatever.
There's nothing. That was a rocket of a shot, and anyone that's watched Ovechkin, that he scored how many goals like that?
I want to hear from Jack.
Go ahead, Jack.
The ceremony took a long time.
No,
100%. I'm just going through. I'm going through the entire breaking. Thing.
Go ahead, Jack. You I'm were not, there in the I, building I, take. That's you in the building take.
I don't. The ceremony took a long time. The shot that went through Sorokin, I don't think there was much he can do. Pollock had a great screen, by the way. I mean, it looks like he's ready to play for a different squad at this point. I mean, what a job he did making sure Sorokin cannot see the puck.
Yeah, that's but you know who, what?
That's who we should be after.
Simon Holmstrom, like.
Yeah, nice effort there, 10.
Best PK. Okay, you're just saying that for fucking Palfy. But Simon Holmstrom, like. You could see it in real time. It's like, all right, I'm on PK. This is the game. I have one job, and it's to know where Alex Ovechkin. Oh, shit. Like, as he's turning around, he realizes he's drifting to the middle of the ice. Ovechkin's wide open, and you could just see real time. He's like, oh, turning. Nope. Goal.
He's probably scored that way 100 times. More than that, probably 200 times. Everyone and knew that it was coming, and it was coming.
And not only that, Greeny, you hear every goaltender in the league talk about how his shot is just like different from everyone else.
I thought it was Jack's turn. Sorry. I thought it was Jack's turn.
You interrupted him first, but go ahead, Jack.
Just to add to his point, and then I shut up. But
the entire Sorokin thing was probably a little bit too much.
Thank you, Jack.
With him getting, like, I know what Ethan's saying with the mask part, where he just like shoves his mask down. Like, it's enough already, dude, you know? Like, and he's just sitting there, like, smiling the entire time. Like, I don't know. I get where Ethan's coming from. Is it winner behavior? No. Is it sportsmanship? Yeah. But I don't know.
There's a middle ground. How
okay. He was getting trolled.
What did you want him to do on the ice?
He was getting trolled.
What did you want him to do on the ice? On the ice,
let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Patrick Waugh's in goal. What does Patrick Waugh do?
Yeah.
Take the guy's hand.
But shakes his hand, yeah, exactly. And that's it.
No, after the game, they're taking pictures.
Patrick Waugh is not taking pictures with Ovechkin.
He's not taking pictures.
He's not taking
pictures. You have to take into account the era these guys are playing in. In that era, they wouldn't have done this whole big fucking thing, I don't think.
So, forget about the – I'm not even talking about the ceremony.
And it's different personalities, too. They're friendly.
Yeah, one guy
and this
who's
is
like
the
a,
era – and time out. This is the era they play in where you have guys on other teams being friendly with one another. Sorokin and Ovechkin are friends. It's like, and how much older is Ovechkin than Sorokin? He's been in the league forever. It's like the captain of the varsity football team picking on the little freshman that just got called up for playoffs. Like, there's literally nothing you can do in that situation. You just kind of have to take it.
So not really, Jack. This is like some NBA shit. This is some NBA kinda, shit.
It is a little bit NBA.
But my thing is, it's not orchestrated by Sorokin. It's orchestrated by the league. Like, most of this was orchestrated by the league. And the stuff
the league didn't go to Ilya Sorokin and say, "Hey man, thank Ovechkin and give him your stick."
He was too smiley.
He asked for the stick.
Thank you, Jack.
He was probably smiling because he had just won a game and let up only one goal. I think it's okay smiling after a win. If they just got their ass kicked 6-0, I don't think he's Mr. Smiley after the game. That's a fact you two are leaving out as well. They won the game 4-1.
Thank
and
you,
he's
Rob.
Probably winner laughing about matters. It because he's like, haha, that's the only goal I gave up all game.
No, I don't think win or lose matters. I think they lose 5-1.
If they lost 6-0, he's not smiley.
Ilya Sorokin is like, oh, my Russian god, Ovechkin, he broke the record on me. So cool.
Maybe he sees him like you see Friedman now.
Well, listen, yeah, at least
I think so. He just looks up to him. So, like,
listen, I wouldn't let Elliot Friedman pat me on the head. Elliot Friedman is a peer. No, Elliot Friedman's
would.
A peer. No, we.
I think you absolutely would.
I think
you would. I do not think he would. I think that would be very weird, guys.
if this was Elliot a ceremony for Elliot Friedman officially breaking the scoop record, and Ethan was in attendance, he's going to absolutely sun Ethan and pat him on the back of the head. And there's
absolutely
nothing
absolutely
not.
No, because if, no. You know why?
If Elliot
because
Freeman
I, no,
just
no, no,
recorded
no, no, no,
his millionth
that
pun.
Is an unwarranted attack, Rocco, and I'd like to respond to it.
Go ahead.
I am the people's insider, okay? If someone's out scooping me on the Islanders, I'm going to be pissed about it. I am not going to go and give
he's
Elliot
not
Freeman
on the Islanders.
It's,
he's
break,
he's not
for,
scooping you on the Caps.
Exactly.
Good for the Caps.
So it's the same. It's the same thing.
No, no, no,
you just
no.
have to take
the
it.
Islanders. The Islanders are
just got to take it.
No, no, no. The Islanders are a tier above when it comes to scoops on the Islanders. I outscoop Elliot Friedman. That I'm not going to go pat Elliot Friedman on the head.
Yes,
yeah,
you absolutely will.
To Friedman's Ovechkin. Is that's
no,
what we're trying
no,
to say?
No, because
you're
there's a competitive fire. There's a competitive fire, and there's respect. That's
and
it.
Friedman.
Not
Friedman.
What I saw when you sent me. There was a lot of.
Listen, I was starstruck, but I'm not letting the guy sun me.
There was going to be a picture.
But you were starstruck.
There was going to be a picture.
Elliot Friedman DM'd me.
And Elliot was going to ask, or sorry, actually, yeah, Elliot was going to get Ethan's phone from him as a souvenir. And Ethan had just, he just has to take it. You have
never
no choice.
Happening.
You have no
never
choice.
Happening. Never happening.
Not the best. That's not the best. Phone is different. It would be like his mic. Like, hey.
His mic, sure.
You were a 1 minute segment on my millionth episode. I get to take your mic with me. I'm taking everyone's mics. Ethan,
not happening.
Take the mic? Of course.
Nope.
I mean, this is just a crazy take by the two of you.
Nope.
Crazy. Oh,
nope.
My God. What do you want the guy to do? He can't embarrass.
Be a man.
He can't embarrass
be
the
a man.
League and embarrass Ovechkin in front
I'm
of everyone during
him to
the
embarrass
ceremony.
Ovechkin. I'm not asking him to embarrass Ovechkin. Shake the guy's hand and shut up and that's it.
That's what he did. And Ovechkin
patted
him on the head.
They're asking him questions.
Ovechkin patted him on the head.
They asked him in the fucking post game. He was just like, oh yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Yeah, because they won the game.
It was
if, again, like what Rocco said.
You can't
said,
tell that they, was like a little tongue-in-cheek. Like,
yeah,
oh, yeah,
if they lost 6-0, you think Ilya Sorokin's going, oh, anytime, absolutely.
Yes.
No, he's absolutely not.
No
he
way.
Was in a better
no
mood because they won the game. That was the only
nope.
game they gave up. It was, again, like Rocco said, a tongue-in-cheek answer. I cannot believe you are just so
it's
miserable
rare...
that you have to feel this way.
Nope.
And it's the rare game where... Just because of the situation, it's two happy locker rooms. That's all it was. Two happy locker rooms.
The Caps were going to be partying regardless.
If anything, the Caps should have been upset. They lost the game 4-1.
We're taking pictures. We're smiling. We're 7 points out of a playoff spot.
Who took pictures?
The 905.
You're take, it's Jack, guys take pictures after the games with the opponents all the time. I don't know if that's a newsflash for you. When they go meet up with their buddies after the game, they always take pictures. When the Tkachuk brothers take pictures after a game, it's not a big deal. When
yeah,
other guys
brothers.
Grew up in the same town, it's not a big deal. But because it's this guy on the Islanders specifically, it's a big deal. It happens all the time. All
yeah,
the time.
The guy responsible for history. All right, next topic.
Next topic. We're 2-0 without Anthony Duclair playing. Well, oh, we should get into that.
Wait, well,
forgot about
on.
Anthony Duclair. So much has happened, to be honest.
Hang on. Before same. before that happened, when I put on the Canadiens game, I was doing some quick math because Ethan said that we're not eliminated. So the maximum amount of points we can get is 90 if we win the last 6 games of the year. Montreal currently has 6 games left, not including this one. In order to get to 91, which they would need because we have the tiebreaker, they would have to get 8 points. They have 6 games left. So they basically have to go 4-2 or some effect of that because I'm not really worried about the other teams. Is that
we have to go undefeated?
Yeah, we would have to go undefeated. So does anyone actually believe that this is on the table because
no.
of the shit teams that they're going to no. be playing the last 6 games?
We play a couple good ones, no?
Well, we play Washington again, but again, they're not going to have anything
done.
To play
yeah.
for, and then they play the Devils next week. Again, I think they're locked into the 3 seed anyway, so they have nothing to play for anyway.
Do I think they could win their last however many games?
I actually do think they can. They won't, but like they're playing such shit teams that I think it's possible.
They actually do look better without Duclair, though.
Well, first of all, we all know Duclair's hurt. We all knew it. We didn't know the extent. And then when I listened to 32 Thoughts and Elliot was going over the speed burst of Duclair last year versus this year, it's
that
actually
which
crazy.
Elliot was that?
That was crazy.
My dear friend.
That's
Elliot?
Your
yes,
friend
he,
Elliot
yes,
that you
he
would
good
quickly hand a mic to if he asked.
Yeah.
He was going through the bursts of Duclair from this year to last. And the drop-off is crazy. And it's so clear he's hurt. And he's, as we've spoken about, he's one of these players that relies on the speed, right? So he's been playing hurt. And then Wah comes out and says, I forget the exact quote. I'm sure Greeny could pull it up. But he said something that I think we'd all would say from a coach to say to the media about one of his players was slightly aggressive. You wouldn't like hearing it from a player.
We can call it aggressive.
We can call it aggressive, especially in today's day and age, aggressive. But, yeah. You know, it's you want to see the player come back and respond and have a strong practice, have a strong game. But I do think in this Duclair situation, there just is more going on in the background, whether it's the injury, you know, maybe just not feeling right, whatever it is.
Is that a personal thought or is that like a sourced thought?
Personal.
Should I read the quote?
Read the quote, yes.
So after the game against the Lightning last Tuesday, Patrick Waugh said, quote, he was god-awful. He was god-awful. He had a bad game. That's why I didn't play him a lot. He's lucky to be in the lineup. Sorry if I lose it on him right now, but that's how I feel.
And I think Waugh was upset at the effort too, right? Like, he's just like behind in the plays, and that's just not really Duclair's style either. You know what I mean? To just get in the corners and dig for pucks. He's just a high-skill, high-speed guy. So like I said, not having that speed, like literally not having the ability to have that speed, it seems like this season, I think is just really affecting him.
I thought it was weird because I was at the Islanders Canucks game a few weeks ago when things were a little different for us. If we won that game, we were going to move into a wild card spot. And Duclair had this play where he just had the puck on our blue line and there was a player coming and it was time to get the puck out or just maintain possession. And instead of protecting the puck or making a safe pass, he just shoots it right into this guy's shins. We end up hemmed in for 2 minutes. And I was like, all right, this guy's just not here. And then later in the period, the puck's on the opposing blue line and they're trying to exit and Duclair's right there and he makes no effort to make physical contact with any part of his body except for lunging his stick out, kind of similar to the goal today with Holmstrom's effort. And Vancouver goes on and they score. And I was like, this guy's effort is atrocious. And I even tweeted a video of both plays. And then I was really watching it the next few nights. And to me, it like really became a joke watching this guy play. He looks horrible. He doesn't look like he's trying. And suddenly his minutes are cut. And then it happens where after the game, Wah completely explodes on him. I think it was building up for a little bit where like he realized that this was going on. Maybe he was watching some film. And I think that he was trying to wake him up. And I think that since they have a pre-existing relationship, like he thinks he can say whatever he wants to him. And I don't really blame Wah for that. If I'm friends with somebody for a long time, I'll say whatever the hell I want. And I expect no repercussions because you're just saying shit. And there's a comfort there in being able to talk to him as opposed to being able to say that to someone like Engvall. I'm sure he's wanted to say that to Pierre Engvall for so long, but it's just a little bit different when you know someone. As for him stepping away, this might sound kind of screwed up, but I honestly do kind of hope something else is going on in the background. And the reason for his time off isn't based on those comments, because that's just, to me, that's just not being accountable. You're playing like shit. Your coach calls you out. That's where, I don't know, I want to see you try harder. I want to see you rise up, do something about it. And instead to just walk away, I don't know. It's not really what I want to see from a player, especially one that's given an opportunity for the first time in his career to be somewhere for a long time. So I don't know how you guys feel, but I'm not so happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that this is being framed pretty exclusively as a mental health break for Duclair, when they very easily could have just used the groin as an excuse to shut him down. So, I mean, listen, it raises some red flags. Obviously, I agree with you, Jack. That was my take the whole time, that Duclair and Waugh go back to juniors. This is a guy who he thought, oh, if I shit on him a little bit, then maybe it'll light a fire under him. Just when you think you know a guy. And then the next thing you know, he's out for the rest of the year with mental health concerns. So it's like Murphy's Law right now with the Islanders. Pretty much everything that could have gone wrong this year for them has gone wrong. Barzal injured, 83-year-old GM trying to make attempts to re-sign 33 and 34-year-olds. Not bad enough to draft James Higgins. Not good enough to make the playoffs. $8.5 million goaltender having a down year. Backup goaltender injured whose career may be over. Half the team suffering injuries at different times. And then the cherry on top is the head coach shits on a guy who he thinks he can publicly shit on. And boom, done for the year. So it is what it is. One thing that I would like to talk about, unless anyone has any other thoughts on the Duclair situation. Nope. Okay. I think we need to acknowledge something as a podcast and probably as a fan base. And it's something that I've been quite guilty of over this, I'd say half a season or so. But we make fun of the Bridgeport Islanders, and for good reason. They have now officially set a record for fewest home wins in an AHL season.
Good now, job, boys.
The reason for that, I would say, is primarily they don't have good players. Sure, the coaching and the development is bad. It's lacking. We've all heard bad things about it. But in the AHL, listen, if you got a talented roster, you're not going to be the worst team in the AHL. You are going to be at least 500. You're going to make the playoffs. I don't know if you're going to win a cup, but you'll be fine. So when Matt Martin draws in and people are complaining, why don't they just call up some of the kids? Again, guilty of it. Who do people want them to call up that think, oh, just Patrick Waugh and a change of scenery is going to make a difference? Because it's not like they have a ton of top picks in Bridgeport, because they don't. Their youngest guys have not been producing this year. And it's pretty much a barren wasteland of talent. Their top two scorers, Chris Terry, who's at a point per game, is like 35, a lifelong AHLer. Brian Pinno, who's like 30. And then your number three is Liam Foudy, who's a first-round bust, wasn't even drafted by you. So 2018, so he's been floating around for 6 years. He's not even a point-per-game player in the AHL. He's 20-20. Not bad, but like, all right, you want to call up Foudy? Fine. Alex Jeffries, former fourth-round pick, he's got 11 goals. Matt Maggio, former fifth- or sixth-round pick, only has 7 goals. Dufour, before he got traded, was awful. And I think he's only got like 1 or 2 goals since being traded. So like, I get it. You don't want to watch Matt Martin, but you probably don't want to watch Jeffries or Maggio at this point. And I feel like that should be a very clear distinction, very clear bridge. Bridgeport is the worst team in the AHL because they have the worst roster in the AHL. And the Islanders, who are still technically alive in the playoff race, are not going to call up players from the worst team in the AHL to bolster their NHL roster.
No, I agree with you, but I just want to play devil's advocate quickly. I think people's views and wishes for them to call someone up come off of Isaiah George being called up earlier in the year and seeing like, oh, this guy did nothing in Bridgeport. But then when he came up, he looked pretty good. And he did kind of come back down to earth.
He did.
But he is now one of these prospects, I think, many of us, including I believe everyone on this pod, feel that not that he's going to be a superstar, but he's going to be an NHL player because of the flashes we saw when he was up. So perhaps we're evolving from our Ewing theory into our George theory, where we just think some of these guys that we call up may show flashes and give us some hope, versus playing someone like Matt Martin, where we know what the deal is. We just have him to recruit Mitch Marner in the summer. Let's see what we got in some of these guys. So I see both sides. And Ethan, we did have that conversation about this. Like, the bottom line is Bridgeport's just not that good.
Yeah.
At the same time, let's see some of these guys. Like, even so if they haven't earned it, even if they haven't, which they haven't, but just give them a shot. And they might get it, like you said. Maybe once they're mathematically eliminated, maybe they do call up one or two guys. And I believe the rosters are unlimited now, where you can call up basically whoever you want. So even if you're just calling them up to get a few practices in, it's just kind of like this why not thing.
Yeah, and my only retort to that is, like, George was playing sheltered minutes, but he was also playing with, yeah, they're not necessarily the best, but he was playing with legit NHL defensemen. keep in mind, you're not calling up Maggio to play with Bo Horvat and Kyle Palmieri. Maggio is probably playing with Casey Zizekas and Kyle McLain. And it's like, again, it's like the transition, right? Like, you can ease a George transition by playing him minimal defensive minutes in a game and pairing him with a legit defenseman. And like, yes, he did look much better than expected. I don't think, like you asked me right now, like, I think he's going to be a perfectly fine third pairing guy. Hopefully I'm wrong, and maybe he's a second pairing guy. But again, it's like, you're going to call it Matt Maggio to play with Kyle McLain in an NHL game against NHL guys, and the guy doesn't even have 10 goals in the AHL. Like, it's not going to happen. And this is a problem that's going to fix itself, because we are no longer trading away first round picks. We are now acquiring first round picks, and we're acquiring top prospects. And Bridgeport will eventually fix itself. I know Jesse Pulkkinen's coming over next year. Like, Odelius and George hopefully will come along a little bit. You never know. But the more Islanders make these picks, the better Bridgeport will be over time. And it's a process. It really is. So let's make that distinction and that connection when we're talking about, why don't they call anyone up? They suck.
But what's the downside? What's the downside to that?
The downside is that you're a team that's not technically eliminated, and the player you're calling up is maybe worse than what you're getting out of Matt Martin.
But how would you know? Sorry,
you
Jeff.
Mentioned
Patrick Waugh was in camp with these guys.
Who's their top point scorer, and how old is he? And has he ever played
Chris
NHL
Terry?
Game?
I'm sure he has, but he's played pretty much exclusively in the AHL. Chris Terry, he's 35. He's got 64 points in 65 games.
He has played 152 games in his career. He scored 22 goals, 16 assists, 38 points. Has not played in the NHL since 2017.
He played 150 in the NHL, though?
Correct. He played with Carolina. Carolina mostly, and then his last year he played 14 games with Montreal.
All right, then let's be a classy, nice organization. And let's bring up the 35-year-old that is a career AHLer and be good people. Let him have his kids watch the game.
He's turning 36 tomorrow, by the way, Jack.
Happy birthday, Terry. Time to come on.
Here's a fairy ticket.
Just define the country club aspect. Like, just that's the country club aspect at atmosphere that we've been trying to get rid of for a bit now. And we're just going to call this guy up.
We called up Bardro. Remember that?
He's old enough for the country club, I'll tell you that.
Bardro was electric. Just bring the kid up and let him play a few games.
What about Gatcombe, too?
He's not a kid. Bring the man up. Let him play a few games. But yeah, I don't really have anyone that I haven't really been the one like crying over prospects coming up. I don't know who I remember I tweeted, anybody who has a slight chance of ever being an AHLer from NHLer from Bridgeport, just bring him up. But I guess nobody has a slight chance. However, I would like to see Perunovic play again. But it's just not
Yeah,
happening.
We know, Jack.
Just forget it. It's just ridiculous. Like, we're too good. That's the funniest thing with this team for the last several years. Like, we don't bring these guys up or let any of the healthy scratches play because we're too good. Nonetheless, Martin actually sets up a goal today. And shout out to him. Great to see him back on the ice.
Was it, though?
Yeah. Come on, dude.
I respect Martin. Like, I have, like, to me, it's annoying he's playing, but if it makes sense, I still have this respect for him that I'm like,
he's got one job.
Matt Martin, like,
you know the job. He's got one job.
Yeah, he's got one job. But I just want to touch on one thing. Like, Ethan made a good point. Like, if these guys get called up, they're probably going to be playing bottom six roles, right? But I read, and I forget who put the article out. Maybe it was Staple because it was on the Rangers, not this season, last season. It was on Jimmy Vesey, and it was basically about how he had to learn that, like, although he was this big-time college free agent and thought he was going to be this top six player, he played in the league for a bit and was basically told, if you don't accept being a bottom sixer and play that sort of role, you're not going to make it in the league much longer, and adjusted his game. So I think that could be something that would be interesting to call Maggio up or Jeffries up for a couple practices, because maybe they could wrap their head around, yeah, I'm not going to make it in this league as a top six guy, but if I could begin to play a more grinding role, it might work for me. So I'm not saying either guy is going to be a guy, but it would be nice just to have, you know, the potential.
Like, there's no downside to it. That's what I don't
Especially
really
the practices.
Understand.
That's what I don't get. Like, what are they getting out of losing in Bridgeport right now versus practicing with the big club? Just give them a little bit of a paycheck for a week and let them practice with the big boys.
Like, could it, not that we're concerned about any of these guys' like development, but could it, could it hurt their development any more than playing for Bridgeport for a full season already did by just bringing them up here?
No.
Like, it just that's the only thing. Like, I respect Matt Martin when he plays, but it's almost like, why are we playing? Like, we know what Matt Martin is.
Mitch Marner.
Like, okay, yeah, and I Welcome understand that, but that's all. But that's all off the ice.
Matt Martin, if Mitch Marner sees that franchise legends get respected and can play into their 35, 36-year-old season, maybe that helps.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
But I like what you're thinking.
Yeah. So Elliot Friedman DM'd me. Pretty cool, huh, guys?
Get into it, huh?
Was it a burner?
It was not a burner. Dude, I actually thought it was like a burner. I thought when I was getting
sent the pick. I was like, no, that can't be.
Bro, it was him. And I'm sitting at the game. So I went to the game on Friday. Good family friend. Didn't want his tickets. Was like, just take them. I was actually originally, we were going to go to the Mets home opener. And then on like Monday or Tuesday, I checked the weather. It was supposed to rain. I was like, I got these free tickets. Let's just do that instead. Go to the game. Ovechkin scores 2 goals against Chicago. And Friedman tweets something about, you know, oh, he's tied the record. He's 1 goal away. And I quote tweeted Friedman saying, Islanders are on a crash course for history. Shout out to me for being right. And Friedman DM'd me saying, don't worry, it's going to happen tonight. And I'm sitting there at the game next to my buddy, who's just like not a big hockey fan. He, you know, he understands who Shams is and who Woj was and who Poisson is and all these guys. So when I explained it to him, like, he starts freaking out a little bit. I send the picture to you guys. We're all freaking out. I don't know. That's it. Elliot Friedman and I was texting Rocco, by the way, because I had answered him. But then my phone was at 10% and I didn't have a car charger. So I'm like, fuck, should I answer him? Like, what if my phone dies? Whatever. Rocco was like, no, you have to text him, DM him right now. I did. We had a little back and forth. And he said that after the season, we're going to catch up. We're going to share some margaritas and some beers. And we're going to trade some Lou lore. So that happened. Anyway, moving on. What else?
No, I was waiting for anyone else to comment. That's actually hilarious, because you have made it an entire bit for how many years?
That's what he said. He said verbatim, Ethan, I respect your passion.
He just seems like no one specific, but I feel like with a lot of these sort of guys, for lack of a better term, they're like a little sensitive. Like, if you say the wrong thing to them, quick block, or you're joking around a little bit and they don't take it the right way. You know, they get upset with you, maybe quote tweet you, get upset on a Suzuki take or something like that, even though they're wrong. But
well, you know what? I'll say this about the interaction, just to like put the NHL insider sphere into perspective. So again, this is going to sound dumb and Greeny's probably going to like circle back and try to shit on me, but I don't care. It was like, you know, Friedman obviously knew who I was from my shtick, right? Like, cheers, Pierre, cheers, Friedman, whatever. Because otherwise, like, he wouldn't have DM'd me. He wouldn't have said, like, I love your Pat. Like, he knows of me. Like, he doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know about the podcast. He's whatever. So what do? I got to fucking make my mark here. And I'm just like, oh, like, I got some Islander scoops if you want them. And he goes, absolutely, hit me. So if you guys remember, when Barzal went down, I was talking about, like, this is a bad injury. This, like, he's not coming back. And then Pierre LeBrun goes and tweets, oh, it's a 6-week injury. Everyone starts speculating about how, oh, maybe if they make the playoffs, you know, LTIR this, but was never happening. And we discussed and said as much that, okay, LeBrun obviously got that news from Lou or someone close to Lou. Lou wanted that news out there. He was never coming back. And he's still, like, he hasn't skated yet. So, like, I don't know. Like, whatever. So I told Elliot, it was just like, by the way, like, I had, like, that it was bad, like, disputing Pierre LeBrun's report. And he goes, I heard Barzal was really bad, but it's tough with Lou, so I stayed away from it. Bro, like, Lou's a scary dude if these people are, like, afraid of him.
Well, we always joke about the black car just going to be sitting outside your house. And it's just
and
like,
that's something Friedman has said repeatedly on 32 Thoughts. He's been like, you never know with Lou.
You never know with the Islanders.
Yeah, there's just, I think there's just like that level of respect with Lou too. And I, to me, it just seems like he will cut you off from everything if you cross him.
That's like, the thing that I hate about the NHL. Cause we joke about it, right? That there's how many teams are there? 32?
Yeah. And, 32 thoughts. You should know that. Come on.
Okay. But all right.
28 sure, of them on the six Canadian teams. But yeah, yeah,
exactly. So, and then what? There's going to be 34 after the expansion?
Probably.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, two more. So, soon.
But we always joke like, oh, there's 32 teams and there's 34 GMs. And they just, one gets fired, one steps in. It's like the same people, it's the same mm-hmm. coaches. Like, all these coaches have coached for six or seven different teams by the time they're 60 something years old. Like, the fact that there's so little turnover is probably what makes NHL insidering super hard, because you can piss someone off and they're still going to be around for another 20 years.
I just want to mention a quote that is like relatable to this. So a few months ago, and we were talking about Dobson, his quote was, I had heard 6 weeks ago that Dobson's name had kind of been out there and I just couldn't find anything. I didn't want to go anywhere with it because I wasn't sure I was right. And especially with Lamoriello, you don't want to be wrong. So I didn't go anywhere with it.
Yeah. But the thing with like,
you know, Rocco, you should have reminded me. You should have reminded me about the Dobson stuff. I would have just been like, yo, Elliot, we had it, bro.
Also, the Lou and Wah fight.
Oh yeah, he didn't touch on that.
True. He didn't go to that one.
Well, I think
I told him about the Zoom call too.
Which was proven, although some people still don't believe it, correct?
It's absolutely crazy.
There's still some people that don't believe it. Am I right on that?
Four people confirm it.
Yeah, some of the people that are around the team.
Yes.
Confirmed it, yes.
That sounds like it definitely happened.
It did happen. We have confirmation through many of our soldiers, we'll call them that. Our soldiers got us confirmation. Yeah.
Literally like four people. But okay.
Jack had the group chat muted when that was being floated in there.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever muted the group chat. That's you, buddy.
Yeah, that's true. Don't throw stones, Greeny.
Calling them out on the
March Madness, huh?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, there we go.
Whatever.
No, our group chat is problematic. It really is. Like, I'll pick up my phone after 3 minutes of just not having it, and my fucking lock screen says 33 new messages in the group chat. I'm like,
I went and did something for literally 5 minutes, and it was at the time when you and Greeny were going back and forth, and I came back to my phone. Guess how many? From just this group chat, guess how many?
It probably didn't even show. It probably just showed the iPhone is overheating message.
I have the number. I have the exact number because I was laughing at it.
120?
86.
And hey, you guys were like, going at it.
And I'm going back and looking at it. It's like, Ethan. And then it's like, Jack, what time are we recording? Ethan. So good.
Well, when you see the so-and-so has mentioned you, I don't even want to open the phone at that point.
You know it's bad.
Yeah.
All right. What else do we want to talk about Islanders related?
I think we got the green room and some Q&A left.
Yeah. By the way, Rocco, I'm like very much on your side now about this being not just a 1 year thing. I think this team is.
As far as what?
Like being good again.
Yeah, man. I mean, I look at this team and they're like, for example, I was watching Minnesota Dallas today where my boy Rossi scored in overtime. These teams don't play the same sport as us. It's insane. They're so fast. They have so much talent. And yeah, like we have a good goaltender and we have a couple other good pieces, but like they have at least those good pieces, if not better. And then the depth to go with it with these young guys that are just flying around. That's why, yeah, in a perfect world, we could maybe be the Caps next year, but we don't have a guy that's the all-time greatest goal scorer that's going to score 40 goals in 50 games or whatever he has.
I knew this was going to happen if we didn't make the playoffs. Like, I just knew that after we traded Brock, we were going to look like either this like pesky team that finds a way, or we were going to look like shit, and we look like shit. So what I try to tell myself is we have a 20-year-old prospect that's supposed to be a NHL center for a very long time coming up next season. We're going to trade Pageau. We're going to trade a few of these defensemen. And although this team isn't going to look like a completely different one, it's going to be a little bit better. And we just don't know what's going to happen this offseason. So it really depends. If we go into free agency, I mean, we sign someone like, for just going to throw out, like Evgeny Dadonov. I don't even know if this guy is a free agent, but that's just like one of those classic middle six wingers that's not moving the needle that we somehow signed to like some two-year deal. And Phil's calling it a masterclass. Everyone else is like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, yes, we're fucked. But I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I think there's going to be – I think this team's going to improve via trade because that's just how they've always done it. I don't think they're going to trade any draft picks that are in the top two rounds, but we'll see. I don't know.
I very much – the more I think about it – yeah, go ahead, Rocco.
You were struggling, so sorry to jump ahead of you, but here's my thing.
Jump ahead. I've got it, but you go.
We have the big fish. We know who the big fish are coming up, right? We've talked about it. Marner's the dream. Ehlers is like the hope that's still unlikely, and then there's everybody else.
I'm going to make a point about our defenseman after.
Okay.
I'll just go fuck myself then, Jack. That's okay.
No.
But what I'm saying is the odds of us, like, we all like to dream on this pod. We're more of a dreamer's pod than cookie cutter XYZ is going to happen. But my issue right now is say Marner just stays. And say Ehlers becomes the primetime guy that everyone wants and he goes elsewhere. There's really not many other names that intrigue me. And I'm at the point where I just want so badly for this team to be good that if they don't go and get the top guys, I almost think like they're, I don't want to give out term deals to like the more middle level guys, if that makes sense. I'd rather go the route of trying to acquire talent on 1 year deals and having a little bit more of a plan that, okay, if they work out, we could keep them. If it's not so great, we could trade them. Like, I want to have flexibility. If you land a Marner and Ehlers, I'm fine with it. Go all in, do your thing. Let's win right away. But if you don't land those guys, like, I want more of a long-term plan, because if you don't get one of those guys, you're either trading a ton of assets to acquire someone else, or you're just kind of playing in the bargain bin where
that's the problem, Rocco. The margin for error is so slim. And that's why I think that this team is, again, you're going to swing for Marner. You're going to swing for Ehlers. All right.
If they're there.
Realistically, sure. If they're there, and if they're there, realistically, what are the odds that either signs with the Islanders?
Low.
10%?
Yeah.
Less than okay. that. So you're banking on that. Everyone's like, ah, Cal Ritchie. Bro, Cal Ritchie is going to be the team's probably 3C his first year in the NHL. I don't care how smart or talented he is. What do you pencil him in for? 35 points his rookie year, 40 points. Like, if he's absolutely unbelievable, exceptional, like 50 points.
Rookie of the year.
Okay, but again, a guy who's 20, going to be 21, first NHL season. We don't know how involved he's going to be on the power play. We don't know what his minute situation is going to be like. Obviously, super talented for making the Avalanche roster out of camp. But again, like, being a young center in the NHL is tough, like really tough. We see guys take 2 to 3 years to really come on, sometimes even longer. So as Rocco's holding up his Cal Ritchie cards, like, I'm excited about the guy. Yeah, I'm excited about the guy. But again, we're talking about, okay, you have to land a Marner or an Ehlers. You have to have best case scenario for Cal Ritchie. You have to find a backup goaltender. And I'll let Jack carry my thunder through to the defense. But there is not a single plus defender. There isn't.
There's one.
There's no like lockdown dude anymore.
Who is it, Jack?
Okay, no. So that actually contradicts the next point I was going to make, because the defender I was going to point out was not a lockdown one. Both defenders, actually. So
they don't have one.
So I was at the Islander game today, and I went by myself. I was sitting next to a Capitals fan we were chatting the whole game. His name is Paul. Shout out, Paul. Great meeting you today, man. He was telling me I'll send him the pod. I already sent him 10 videos of everything Ovechkin did today. He asked me to take the videos, let him live the moment. And I was like, sure, buddy. But yeah, so We were talking about the Capitals last year compared to this year. And one move the Capitals made, as we all know, they traded Nick Jensen for Jacob Chychrun. And he was talking to me about how now that Carlson plays less minutes, then Chychrun and Carlson are really the reason for this Caps team getting much better, as well as Dubois. So the Islanders, with their additions of D'Angelo and Boqvist, he was trying to convince me that that is actually the key to us getting better. And it's because in the NHL now, these puck-moving defensemen, he compared it to Steph Curry in the NBA, being able to move the puck from zone to zone that fast.
I mean, Jack, I've been saying this for weeks, that that puck-moving defenseman is the new meta in the NHL.
But that's what we're moving towards. We're getting correct. That's what we're going to change this offseason. And you know what? You know what turns out too? We're actually getting a new center. Now, look, the points you make about Richie are definitely true. He's not going to put up the season that Dubois is putting up right now. Maybe we'll get someone else. Oh yeah, we have Matt Barzal coming back. Yeah, we're going to be fine next year. We're going to have these puck moving defensemen. And a lot of the data shows that with these defensemen, when you take an icing call compared when you have an icing call against you compared to the amount of chances you will get from the puck moving from zone to zone that fast, you're going to be better off. We're going to get a better year from Sorokin. We're going to have an actual backup goalie. I'm not sold on Hogberg. He better not be our backup goalie to start next year. I don't think he will. But I thought that was very interesting. And I do agree with him that Chychrun for Jensen is a really underrated move because it's just Chychrun for Jensen. I feel like everyone just looks at it like that, but it's a puck mover for a shutdown. And what this team has tried to model themselves to be are all of these shutdown defensemen. So they're moving in the right direction there. Whether that's Lou or Wah, I don't know. But I think it's encouraging, and I would like to see D'Angelo re-signed to truly believe it.
But again, Dobson needs a new contract. Pelican Pullock stink. Like, your defense can't be Romanov and Tony D'Angelo if you want to be good. That's why good. I think it's – especially because Mayfield's got a no-move clause. Pollock's still got a no-move clause. Pelech's got a 16-team, and you have to hope that someone wants to even take that contract. Like, there are so many what-ifs going into this offseason. The Islanders need an unprecedented amount of luck. Luck that none of us have ever witnessed the Islanders have in our entire lifetime in order to be actually good next year. I think they'll be good. I don't think that they're going to be win a playoff round good unless everything goes right.
How good are they going to be when they end up giving 7 years to Robbie Fabry and sign Neil Pionk to a 6-year contract? Are you still going to feel that way? That they can make the playoffs?
I like Neil Pionk. I mean, I wouldn't want to give him 6 years, but like he's just like a pretty good player. I think he's a little older. He might be close to 30 now or 30, but
fit right in.
He's 30.
He's 30. Yeah. Like, I mean, if you could get him on like a 4, I'd think about it. But like, that's the type of player they need. But the issue is they need that type of player at a younger age, which is obviously so hard to get. And we're not in a position to be trading draft picks, as Jack said. I almost feel there's so many moving parts headed into this offseason. And I almost feel like you have to sort of look at the offensive and defense separately. Like, we need that one big time goal scorer. But there's still so much work they have to do on the defensive end. Because if you go into next season with mostly the same defense, I think this team's going nowhere fast.
So you guys think the Leafs, do you think Marner is actually going to be available? Or do you think Bleep is actually going to be available?
So I think Bleep is in waiting because they need to see what the Marner and Nyes numbers look like. I think they know Bleep is going to basically come back no matter what. And they
is that true?
What?
Do you really think that's true? Like, you think he's locked in going back?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think he's one of those Lou-esque deal in the drawer type thing. It just might get modified based upon how they keep these guys. And he's at that age where he's not getting a max term deal anyway. So if it bottomed out and they couldn't keep him, like, he'd hit the open market and get a similar deal anyway. He's not biding for that 8th year. So his deal isn't totally affected if he doesn't resign with the Leafs. So I think he's in wait mode because they need to see how they get these deals done with Nyes and Marner. And basically whatever's left over will probably go to Bleep because, you know, I think it's going to be, I don't want to give like exact numbers, but from what I heard, I think like a 2-3 and around like a 7-8 per for Bleep. And then that gets done and they have to, like, they know that that's what they're going to be working with. So they have to work the other deals around him in Marner and Nyes. And I do think truly with Marner, they are waiting for the playoffs, because the way Toronto operates, it's just like they listen maybe a little too much to the media and they want to see him do it in the playoffs, even though he puts up pretty good numbers, but they want to see him do it in the playoffs. And I don't know if it's even specifically him. It's just that core, and it's now Mitch's time to get paid. So if it doesn't work out, I think you just have to get rid of that quote unquote core four and break it up and do something differently. So if they don't play well in the playoffs, I think there's decent odds, especially after they basically asked him to go to Carolina, about him going this offseason. Yeah, I think there's a chance. There's a pretty good chance. But if he has a monster playoffs, they're just going to give him the bag. But I think they're limited on where they would go. And some of these other teams like that have unlimited cap room, like a Chicago, might throw a stupid bag at him just to play with Bedard.
But I do think he is going to hit the market. Like I don't see a scenario that he signs an extension before July 1.
So, Greeny, I think he's going to, and I don't know how they even phrase it nowadays, but I think he's 100% going to get to that tampering period,
yep,
where he could sort of talk to other teams. But I think the big day is going to be when that 8-year option expires, if that makes sense. Like that, if it's July 1 at noon, that they can no longer give him 8 years or whatever, that's when it's going to be like decision time. Because he's either going to be taking 8 years with Toronto or 7 from somewhere else. And obviously, in order for a team to match the total dollars of an 8 on Toronto, they're going to have to give him 13, 14. So I think he's going to see what other teams have prepared and then go back to Toronto, say, I need this number to stay on an 8. And then
Toronto
you go from
taxes. Toronto taxes, too. Keep that
not
in mind.
Great. Not, but the issue with that is we can't.
Long Island taxes are so much better.
Yeah, we
I actually think they are better than Toronto taxes.
Yeah, the Canada tax has been crazy, but that's the one thing, like, we joke about that with Canada, but ours aren't that much better. Like, we can't use that as a strong suit. We can't be like, well, our taxes, because they're really not that much better.
Just wait till Canada becomes a state.
Yeah, I'm sure that they're itching for this incoming recession. To quote Taylor Swift, because karma is my boyfriend, karma is number 16 in blue next year.
Gaccone's going to give it up like that?
Just like that.
I don't know if he needs
get the Rolly.
Marner or something else.
Get the Rolly.
No, you got to get the Rolly.
If karma exists, Mitch Marner is leaving Toronto with nothing.
But I heard 12 is available, so you can always go to that.
Richie
the best
is 12.
The best 12.
Richie,
too.
I've decided that Richie's jersey number is 12. He's destined for
greatness.
That's
why you're so fond of him.
Destined for greatness, so.
Jack Saravalli.
Nobody else gets to touch that number.
All right, let's do some green room questions and get out of here.
All right, really short. I only got two things in the green room. So we were talking about Bridgeport before. They still have 3 home wins, which is like the worst ever. So I won't go further into that. But I did look at Chris Lamoriello, the wonderful Chris Lamoriello, who was running Bridgeport. So I looked at his like entire career because I wasn't sure what he was really doing before he came to the organization. So just as an AHL GM, this is his 24th season. A question for you guys, how many seasons of those 24 do you think he has led a team into the playoffs?
0.
Rocco?
2?
Ethan? 1.
Just 1? Well, despite how pathetic that is, you guys weren't far off. It's 4. Just 4 of the 24 seasons has the team been in the playoffs, and all of the times they've made the playoffs, the team lost in the first round.
Needed that LeBron gif for that one.
Yeah.
4.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, that was green room stat number 1. The other one is Alex Ovechkin. Since Ethan doesn't want me to mention him in the green room, I'm going to mention him. Today was his 75th game against the Islanders, or 72nd game, sorry, against the Islanders in his career. How many goals do you think he has scored?
I saw it.
Against the Isles?
Yep.
How many goals has he scored? How many seasons has he played now?
He has 2005 played
was his debut.
For this is his 20th year.
20.
Holy shit.
20th year. This was his 72nd game.
And today was his first against Sorokin, so I feel like not a ton recently. I'm going to say...
I'm going to go 65.
Seems high.
Just way a bit. High.
48.
Close.
Jack?
I know it.
Jack saw it.
Okay, Jack saw it. The answer is 45, which is exactly 5% of his 895 goals in his career. He's scored 68 total points against the Islanders, 45 goals and 24 assists in 72 games.
I was close on the points.
I was surprised, Greeny. I saw that one of the highest goal totals he has is actually against Carolina and Tampa, which I thought was, you know what? That makes sense now because of the Southeast Division. So
it's actually tied. Carolina and it's not Tampa. It is. I just had it up here. It's Philly. He has scored 52 goals against Carolina and 52 goals against Philly, even though he's played Carolina an extra 14 times.
It's a fun trivia question to ask who he has the most against, because it's actually Winnipeg because of the Thrashers back in the day, right?
That is true.
Oh, wow.
Yep, that is true. Because the way they did it, they split it up. So, yeah. And the Lightning are up there, obviously, because of the Southeast Division. But as far as like the Metro teams go, he's tormented the Rangers a lot more, actually. The Devils a lot more. He's 88 points against the Devils, only 72 points against the Rangers, so a little bit more. But I thought he would actually be the top, like against us. I thought he would torment us more because I know Crosby
does.
I think like we are his most scored against team.
But we've always been in his division. That was a good point Jack made. Yep. I didn't realize since they reconfigured, they were in the Southeast prior, right?
Yeah.
So correct. They weren't with us, so we didn't have as many matchups. When Sid got us when we were atrocious, too. So he just lit us up in his youth.
Yeah.
And it's just so bad.
Got us at the right time.
Yep. And the team, actually, he scored the least amount, which is the newest team, the Utah Hockey Club. He's played them twice, and he has 2 goals. So they're on a good pace.
But they didn't carry over Arizona's.
I'm looking on Hockey Reference. They had it split up. I think it's a brand new thing, I believe.
Yeah, they're considered almost like an expansion because they didn't carry, like the way the Jets carry the Thrashers.
Yeah, I think the owner.
They don't carry Arizona's.
They didn't get the trademarks or the records or anything. Well. That's it for the green room. We only got a couple of questions, so if you guys don't have anything else, we can just hop right into those. All right. So the first question will go to our guy, Mr. 305 at SBBIGD. Do you think we will see Duclair again this season, although Wass has no plans at the moment? Who do you think gets into the lineup if they get called up? So I guess that was two separate questions, actually. But we don't think we're seeing Duclair again, do we?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, yeah.
And
I don't think it's worth it with the injury.
Yeah.
Neither do I. I think Ethan made a good point earlier. Like, why wouldn't they just say that he's going to be out the rest of the year because of the injury? Like, why would they even allude
to
it?
We're not seeing Duclair again.
I think the reason maybe they didn't say the injury, too, was it would have been a little awkward had Wah put out that sort of statement. And then, like, the next day, they're like, oh, he's on IR for the rest of the year. Maybe was that to protect Wah a little bit? That's just something that came in my mind. You know what I mean? Like, he just kind of shit on this guy. And then the next day, it's like, oh, he's on IR for the rest of the season. Kind of doesn't look great optics-wise.
Yeah, but you can maybe say, all right, well, and they sat down and had a conversation. He admitted his groin wasn't.
Yeah, could have framed it a certain way, but they don't operate like that.
I guess. I mean, someone was going to come out looking bad in this situation anyway. So
yeah. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Next, we will go to Jess K at 18 Engvall. We've been getting a lot of questions over the last couple of weeks about Tony D'Angelo. And her question is, thoughts on a D'Angelo extension? He's been having some great plays. I've become more open to extending him over the last like month. What do we think that would look like?
probably like a two by. I'm really bad with finances in the NHL, especially with the cap rising. Like, I have no idea, but extend the guy.
You think he just goes to the negotiating table with the dance on him, Tony D meme?
Yeah, he should.
And just says, I set this fan base on fire. Give me my money.
He should bring us to the negotiations.
He should.
Make sure he should. We will make sure he gets his money.
I agree
with that. But Ethan, yeah, Ethan Rocco, you have any number
what was
ideas?
She was asking how much we think he'll get. Or how much would we be willing? I'm sorry.
It was just overall thoughts on the extension. I guess, do you think we should give him one, and what would that look like?
Yes, I'd give him. Bro, I would give him 3 years. I would. Maybe like 3.5.
I was going to say 3x4.
I would give Close him. Enough. I wouldn't want to give him 3. I'd give him max 2. Because as much as we love him, it's just been like, I don't think his market is going to drive that many years, to be honest, because there's definitely teams that are just like no go from the jump, right? Like teams that wouldn't even bid on him if they had like no Rangers, no Flyers, no whatever team. And he probably wants Kings. To be on the East Coast. He's an East Coast guy unless he gets an absolute bag. So I think we end up keeping him on a decent bargain. I think it's one of those deals where Lou did right by him, and not that he's going to come back for nothing, but I could see it being like a 2x2.5 type thing, which I'd be fine with.
Yeah, I'd be good with that. All right. We got two more questions here. This one from Matt at Control Magic. He says, Mitchell Marner, why would he choose NYI over any other organization? Are Lou / Matt Martin enough of a draw?
No, but maybe the schools and the sauces and the beaches and everything else on top of that could bring the man home. And we're going to try.
Money. We're
Best
gonna try.
Effort. Money.
Yeah, money.
And money. I forgot the most important thing. If the money's right, Ethan, we've all talked about this in the group chat, and maybe we're delusional, but I do believe if he hits the open market, I'm not saying he's going to come here, but I think we would be in the running and maybe get second place like we always do. But I think if he hit the open market, there would at least be talks and us attempting to get him.
I mean, like you said, we're going to try.
We're going to try.
We're definitely going to try.
All we could promise.
Before we get to the last question, there was one comment that was pretty funny. I thought this was actually Ethan responding to our tweet with a burner. It was about the ceremony today, so I could just read this briefly. There are some expletives in there, but it's pretty funny. What in the fuck was the fucking shutdown ceremony for an opposing player? Who gives a fuck? Certainly not the home crowd. If they did it for TNT, fuck them. Bettman, fuck him. Save the pomp and circumstance for your home crowd. Score, wave your hand, get on with it. Any thoughts on there? Ethan, did you write that?
I did not.
I'm gonna give it the Friedman to Ethan line. Love your passion.
Love your passion.
The one thing is there were actually tickets to this game that were sold for thousands and thousands of dollars. So I understand people wanting, I understand giving the fans a little bit of an extra sort of thing once Ovechkin scored that goal. That's my only rebuttal. I get it. It took a while. Like, it was time to drop the puck after.
That's fair. I just wanted to call that out, but we'll move on to the last question. So this is also from our guy, Coach Jeff. He goes, since the opening of UBS, how do you think Lou is viewed / perceived around the league from peers and players?
Great question.
I think there's always that respect factor with Lou, but I think it's almost in a way similar to guys playing on Long Island, where they, from the outside, they have this view of it or him. And then once they get here, they love it. Like, Lou's, from everything we've heard, like, his own players love the guy. And I know people are going to say, oh, it's because he gives them these deals and yada, yada. And sure, that's a part of it. But like, even players back to the Devils days and a lot of these guys back in Toronto, like the way he treats his players and takes care of his guys, I think he's well respected by the players.
Now, from the other perspectives, who knows? I mean, I guess it depends who you ask, but I feel like the top level guys have respect for him, like the Friedmans and whatnot. But like, I can understand why the low level guys, I shouldn't say low level, but the not national guys struggle with him at times.
I think he's definitely respected from his peers. As for players, I don't know. I would guess a mix of respect and also kind of fear as well. Like you go there, like it's going to be strict with the rules. So I don't know if it helps. You're also playing for a legend. So I don't know. Just a tough question there on the players.
I think executive wise, he is respected. Player wise, it's just tough. I don't think he has the respect of the younger Gen Z players, right? Trevor Zegras wants to do TikTok dances and date Charli D'Amelio. All right, that's not going to fly under Lou. You want to grow out a goofy beard or a mustache? I'm sorry, it's not going to fly under Lou. You know, if you're like a hardworking 31-year-old with some kids and a wife and, you know, you want a great place to live and the schools and all that, you probably respect Lou more. I think it just depends on the age range we're talking about.
I think it's completely split on the generations. That was perfect. I think the soft Gen Z generation that Jack and I are a part of definitely do not like Lou's antics. Like if someone wants to go do a podcast and he doesn't let them do a podcast, I think they're going to have a problem with that. And he hasn't really won in this generation. So the young people don't really see the legend part of him that some of the older guys might see.
I think Greeny too, I believe we spoke on it quickly on the last pod, like what Clutter said on Barry, where guy, like when you're not winning, you kind of get tired of playing that style, like sticks in the lane, this and that. I could see Lou kind of being like that too. You know what I mean? Like when you're winning, who cares? I'll shave, I'll do this, I'll do that. But like when the winning stops, I'm sure it gets old a lot faster.
Yeah, winning cures all.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Well, that's all I got.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Follow the pod. Subscribe to the pod. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep, he can't hang around.
Io's house,
in the middle of our street.
Io's house.